My name's Sean Collier. I'm back at the AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22 Movie Palace. Aaron's back from the ocean, guys.
Yeah, AMC, hey, we love this place. You can sponsor us if you want.
Yeah, who begs for sponsors in the teas? We do.
Because I love my AMC stubs.
Oh, yeah. I just renewed AMC. I'm a loyal member.
Absolutely.
And here tonight, we're talking about The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
With Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling, and it's a grown-up action movie. And
yeah, directed and written by Shane Black.
Yeah.
Love him.
Like him, like the cast, got some problems. We'll get into all of that this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, May the 20th.
Bingo.
2016. Hey, if you are if you're here in Pittsburgh, we'll remind you one more time.
Yeah.
Aaron and I have a big night tomorrow night, Saturday the 21st.
Yeah, 8 p.m. At Arcade Comedy Theater. I will be hosting my stand-up comedy game show, Comic Wars. Sean Collier will be on
that.
That's
right.
Along with a loaded cast.
Indeed.
Of comedians. That's 8 p.m. at Arcade Comedy Theater downtown.
And that'll be immediately followed by the WDV Loaded Show at Club Cafe on the south side of Pittsburgh.
At 10 p.m.
Doors at 10, show at 10:30.
And it's pretty cool. I love when stuff like this works out because the comedians on the Loaded Show are the contestants on Comic Wars.
Exactly.
So you can see them compete in stand-up competition, which really is a lot of different games that I have and things like that and a little bit of stand-up. But then you get to see full stand-up sets at Club Cafe at 10 p.m.
Those sets by Aaron, Andy Picaro, Holly Price, Dave Bracey from the Drinking Bart Partners podcast.
Epicast.
Shannon Norman and Alex DePula.
Yeah.
Big, big, big lineup.
Yeah.
I'm not messing around with these Loaded Show lineups.
No, you don't play around.
I host these shows, and I love it because it's like a rapid-fire comedy flurry
I love
attack.
It. Yeah.
It's you know, we usually get done in about hour 15, hour 20, and it's just one after the other heavy hitters on the Pittsburgh comedy scene. So that's going to be a big night of comedy in Pittsburgh tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I guess we're plugging. What else you got?
I mean, you guys can always check out my other podcast, Grown Dad Business. I have a lot of awesome guests that I talk to about either being parents or growing up. And I just posted, I was on a cruise. I was on a Norwegian cruise and didn't have a chance to upload a podcast because the Wi-Fi is garbage. And but I posted three of my favorite episodes from the first half of my season or whatever it is called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I highlighted Bobcat Goldthwait, Todd Glass,
sure,
and Paul Rodriguez. Some really good dad stuff there with Bobcat and Paul Rodriguez. And then Todd Glass is hysterical. So, GrownDadBusiness.com. And,
if you're listening to this on Friday, if you're listening today, I'll be in Wheeling, West Virginia for all of our West Virginian listeners.
Nice.
At the Wheeling Country Club tonight. And keep an eye on my Facebook, which is not, you gotta friend me. You gotta friend me, but once you do, every Friday, now I'm doing like a roundup of all of my movie stuff.
Yeah.
Which always has a couple of 400-word reviews, and this podcast, and the blog about everything I've seen that I do for Pittsburgh Magazine called Popcorn for Dinner. Look for that on Facebook.
I like your 400-word reviews.
Thank you.
I do.
It's, it's...
I always repost them.
Just the right size.
Yeah.
You know, when you're sitting at work and want to kill another 5 minutes and find out about a movie that's out.
Sean's a good writer.
Thanks.
Well,
I do what I can. Do what I can. A couple of things I saw before we get into The Nice Guys that I want to hit quickly. What did I see? Oh, you know what's out today that I saw is the Angry Birds movie.
You saw that?
I did.
You did?
So that's just terrible and stupid. It's
real
bad.
Do you think it would be, like, really good?
No, no. That's one where, like, yeah, I am going to confirm that it's as bad as I think it's going to be. But it's like, you know, when if you're making a kid's movie and you see, you know, all of, you know, the Disney stuff and the Pixar stuff and even a lot of the DreamWorks stuff is pretty good now, how do you go, nah, we don't have to try? Like, no, like... It's one of those that just thinks kids are stupid and, like, knows that if you put in a lot of jokes about butts and farting and, you know...
Yeah.
And stuff, you know, and it's just so bad. And, like, a couple jokes were, like, bad vulgarity puns. Like, the bird going, aw, cluck my life. Pluck my life. Like, oh, my God. The birds are in anger management courses.
Now,
that's
literal. If you telling me that one line, I wouldn't let my kids watch it.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
It's.
I don't want my 5-year-old going around pluck my life.
Yeah.
No way. Not a chance. Sorry, I'm that dad.
Because, you know, the reason we all play Angry Birds is for the plot.
I know,
the
right?
The story, really. Man, and it's got the voice cast as Jason Sudeikis and Bill Hader, and it's just like, yeah, this is a waste of everything. So I saw that.
You got to figure when they get all those stars, like, how much money are they putting into salary just to have, you know, I've heard it explained that they do that so that adults will see it. Like, they're well, I'm going to take my kids. Which kids' movie should I go to? Oh, you know what? This one, they have Chris Rock doing a voice, so that should be fun. Like, they think they're tricking people into... I'm friends with somebody who is pretty famous that has done a huge kids' movie. I don't want to say their name, because, you know, he was kind of telling me about how, like, isn't it stupid?
Yeah.
Like, and he said that's why they do this. He was a lead character in two very large movies.
Okay. And I don't think that happens. I think when you're talking...
Because he questioned, he was like, why are you getting me to do this? And they were like, oh, because adults know your voice. He's a really huge stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And adults would be like, oh, well, he's doing the voice, so I can enjoy that while my kids enjoy the movie. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't think any adults are doing that.
But he was like, I'll cash the check.
Oh, definitely. Like, absolutely. I think that when it's the Angry Birds movie, it's parents' only decision is, are my kids going to make me take them to this?
Yeah.
When it's The Good Dinosaur or Frozen, then, you know, you do have a lot of adults that enjoy it and want to go.
Yeah.
But when it's something like that, I don't think grown-ups are going, oh, Bill Hader's in it? Well, I won't wait in the car.
I know.
They're just, until your kids are old enough for you to send them in their own, you're just buying a ticket and sitting there.
There are some films that, you know, you really do enjoy the voice actor because it kind of really complements the character.
Yes.
I'll give you my first example I thought of was, when you said Bill Hader, was Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Uh-huh.
Him as the lead character fits perfectly,
and he
makes it funnier because of his voice acting.
Or Wreck-It Ralph with John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman.
Absolutely.
That worked great.
That works. So when there's comedic timing and things like that, and the character almost resembles a character that like someone like Bill Hader would play in a real live action film.
Yeah.
It does make it good.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed him in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah. But this didn't even... Like, Jason Sudeikis is the main character.
Oh,
and he's
for
like,
God.
He's this... Like, he's an angry bird who hates everything, which isn't even, like, what Jason Sudeikis brings to the table. And Bill Hader's the bad guy. It's
I'm going to be honest. What does Jason Sudeikis bring to tables? I'm just going to throw it out there.
He was good in the first Horrible Bosses. Where the Millers isn't bad.
He's a decent straight man, isn't he?
He's a decent comic straight man. Would never be my first choice. He's kind of he's like a much lesser Andy Samberg.
No.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg's pretty funny.
That's what I mean. Andy Samberg is legitimately very funny.
Yeah.
And Jason Sudeikis is that when you go, I guess.
I'm just shrugging.
Yeah.
I didn't.
So anyway, don't go to see the Angry Birds movie. There's a very arty movie called, I just saw it yesterday. What the hell's the name of it? A Bigger Splash.
Oh,
with Tilda Swinton and Ralph Fiennes and Dakota Johnson.
I saw the trailer for that. That looked interesting.
It's very like film school.
Yes,
it's very well made.
Yeah,
I would recommend it. You know, it's one of those.
It's not got some like twists in it, does it? It seemed like
I'm going to tell you about
the trailer. Just look, I was like, wow, the acting looks really good.
The acting is crazy good. Tilda Swinton is great.
I want to see it. Yeah,
it's
nice to see Tilda Swinton play a woman.
Yes,
she's always some like odd character,
and she's
that's not in a mean way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And like she plays like.
She's always like, some like
she plays like David Bowie. She's like a rock star. She's like, yeah, a, like right, an aging right. rock star.
But she's always playing like some like creature or mythical creature.
She's playing a witch demon. You know, she's playing always, a tree.
I don't think I can think of a movie that I saw her in that where she wasn't just a normal human woman.
Right. Right.
That's fine.
But no, this is
same with Michael Fassbender.
Yes. I have a little problem. Is this me being weird? I have a little problem whenever a movie is like set in, you know, the south of Italy or the south of France. This is like on an Italian island. And it's, and,
right.
You know, on the one hand, you have like, you know, this is a really beautiful place to shoot a movie and the movie looks beautiful. But then I'm pulled out of it because it's like, I can't relate to people who live on an island in Italy for a week.
Yeah.
You know? And they're rock stars. I get who they are, but it's also a little bit like, come on.
Yeah, not, right, right.
I instantly don't care about you because of how much money you have.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But
a movie about rich people woes?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
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 You know, about relationship problems.
Yeah.
You know, but that said, it's absolutely something that's worth it for the acting. If you want something that is like a little bit smarter, which you don't get a lot of in the summer. So Aaron's having spasms.
Sorry, I was like turning off my Facebook and just saw a post.
That's all right.
That's and
you
I'm
had
like
a,
I'm
had
like
a moment.
I'm like above what? Anyway.
So that's we're doing The Nice Guys instead of Neighbors 2.
Yeah, I mean,
we had the option.
You know,
tonight.
We saw the trailer for The Nice Guys multiple times,
yeah.
And I was excited to see it because it looked like a funny duo. Oh, I wanted to tell you real quick some movies that I saw for the first time.
Okay.
On the cruise.
All right. Do they have like second run cinema or
they do.
Yeah.
They do, but I didn't watch any of that. They have a movie channel.
Okay.
It's a, the crew, they have a crew movie channel.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's like run movies on a movie channel for the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a movie, didn't even know what it was. I caught it right at the beginning of the credits and did not really, I have really bad Wi-Fi, so my phone is on airplane mode for a week straight.
Yeah.
And so I can't IMDb this.
Right.
So I had no idea what this movie was called until right now.
I just
looked it up because I just remembered to tell you about it. I finally saw, now I know what it is, Dan in Real Life.
Oh, all right.
Never saw it. There's Steve Carell and maybe aforementioned Dane Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Wink.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, that was okay.
He was a pretty good actor in it.
Oh, Steve Carell is a pretty good actor. Are you talking about Dane Cook?
I'm talking about Steve Carell.
Okay.
No, Dane was good at
Dane
it,
Dane was
too.
Good as well. That's.
But yeah, that was...
That's the one movie where you go, no, Dane Cook can act a little bit.
Yeah.
But Steve Carell, that was like one of the... That was before
Foxcatcher. I know.
Or before...
And, you know, it's always been one of those movies that I was like, I gotta see that.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
And his... I'm gonna get emotional. Like, the don't worry about it. I'm fine. But the heartbreak that Steve Carell's character has in that is
and
fucking
the
real.
The two girls that play his older daughters, they became pretty big actors.
Who is it?
I don't remember.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
Yeah, don't worry about it. They've been in a bunch of stuff. I just know I've seen both of them recently.
Sure.
For the last couple years.
Allison Pill.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's very good.
Yeah.
She was on the news
newsroom.
Newsroom.
Yeah.
And she was in Scott Pilgrim. She's very good. And yeah. Britt Robertson.
That's right.
Who is like one of those people who like probably will become,
but
you
know, she's been in a
she was in Tomorrowland.
Yes.
She was in
she was great in Tomorrowland.
One of the Nicholas Sparks movies. She was just in Mother's Day, which
right.
is so bad. I didn't even talk.
But you
about
know what else
one.
I saw?
Day in the Real Life is worth watching.
I also, this is so funny. We're catching up on like but this is, you know, it's a movie podcast. I also was excited because I, on the cruise, I went to bed every night pretty early.
Yeah.
Or at least after my shows. I mean, we had 11 p.m. late shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. You were in the sun. So, like, I laid down to bed at like midnight and I turn on the movie channel and Sinister 2 starts rolling.
Oh.
And I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this, and it's a horror movie that I haven't seen.
See, I didn't.
Son of a bitch.
I somehow missed both of those.
I'm really tired.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I actually sat up so I could, like, not fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. Because when you're, if your head is on the pillow, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. And I was
and
like.
And then you're going to be asleep during Sinister 2, and you're going to have weird dreams.
You know, I don't. And
no.
my wife's always like, how can you, like, if I can't fall asleep one night, you know, I'll go downstairs,
yeah,
or I'll go in our game room and you know, my movie room,
yeah,
and I'll watch horror movies.
Yeah,
I'll watch a horror movie. I'm like, oh, I haven't seen, you know, this goofy movie on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
this horror movie, and then I'm like, okay, cool, I'll watch a movie for like an hour and a half and I'll go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, how do you watch some like crazy slasher movie or even like even weirder movies,
yeah,
and just go to bed? And I'm like, I don't know.
No,
that does not bother me.
I don't mean watch and then go to bed. I can
do that.
Doesn't
bother me at all.
I mean falling asleep with the movie on.
Nothing.
That's
I remember.
One night I fell asleep.
I mean,
in
11,
the movie theater.
12 years old. Never.
I fell asleep in the movie theater during The Shining. It was like the second or third time I was seeing The Shining in the theater. But it started at midnight, and by 1:30 I was nodding
off. Okay, I'm copywriting that movie right now.
Yeah.
That I'm copywriting that movie.
A guy falls asleep watching The Shining and then wakes up and something happens.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I'm copywriting that.
Well, we're not going to say more than that because...
Co-created by Sean Carter and Aaron Klauber.
Yeah. But then like I was like getting jolted awake by like the music hits and you like wake up and don't know where you are and see that. That freaks me out.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, how Sinister too?
As morbid as it is, if anybody knows about it, basically, you know, there's these 8 millimeter like snuff films of murders.
Yeah.
I won't give anything away.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you like horror movies, watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it. It gets a little like there's some children involved and then there's like a boogeyman involved of why these things are happening. They allude to it. In the first one and the second one, they go all in, like,
mm-hmm.
this is why this happens,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing, elaborating on the whole thing. But it's really eerie, man. It's, you know, this demon basically gets people to film them murdering their families.
Yay.
And they show the 8 millimeter films.
Uh-huh.
And, they play really crazy music with the film, and it's pretty morbid, man.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's not as... I give them credit for not making them as grotesque and Eli Roth-esque as they could.
Mm-hmm.
But
you don't even... When it's that subject matter, you don't even need to, you know?
No, and you know what it is? I enjoy horror movies. I don't want to say I enjoy watching snuff films of murders.
Right.
But they are very creative.
Yeah.
They're not like just splatter Eli Roth style. And I'm going to keep dropping his name because he's very uncreative.
Yes.
And it's all about the gore porn. And this is not, they're not gore porn. They're very creative.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh. And you almost like want to see more. Like you want to see another one.
You know what?
Like makes... they're like, oh, we have three more, mm-hmm. and then you're like, I want to see what they come up with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what makes me very uncomfortable is all of that Faces of Death stuff. You know,
oh, about, dude, yeah, you know no. About that? I watched those when I was in high school. The real ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could buy them at the flea market.
Yeah. If you don't know about this, don't go down this rabbit hole.
Well, it's I'm just sure you basically, can find it all it's just Live Leak.
It's like,
Live Leak now.
They and if you look into it, about half of what you would see on there was fake. Because they would intersperse footage of people dying in car accidents or fires or tragedies with things that are like, this is real footage of a guy being eaten by a lion. And it's not always.
Right, right.
But it was presented like that. And like,
no, we would,
I'm bothered by, like, it bothers me that there's a market for that. And it bothers me because, like, yeah, when I was a teenager,
I had
that.
But that was the thing when it came out in, like, 96, 97, where it's like, you know, I'm a 15, 16-year-old kid who loves horror movies. And, you know, there's these, you hear about it, and then a guy is selling them at the flea market for $10.
Yeah.
And me and my brothers are like, let's buy Faces of Death. And you're just watching people get electrocuted and eaten by sharks.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
You know? It's But now it's like a viral video comes out like that every month.
Yeah.
You know? And if you've
that's
ever...
That's a weird little corner of
cinema history. I don't want to promote Live Leak, but, I mean, Live Leak is basically YouTube for reality news videos.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, like, police chases, police shootings, terrorist stuff, military things, you know, riots. It's very uncensored news videos. That's what Live Leak is.
That's just a personal thing with me. Whatever's going on there in the mind that makes people interested in that. And I get it. Like, I'm vaguely interested in that.
I'm vaguely interested, but I do not.
No.
I don't like watching reality death.
Like, I guess I'm saying it bothers me that I have that vague interest. And it really bothers me when you see people who are, like, totally casual about it.
I definitely, you know, I watch Live Leak a lot for my interest in just the fight on terror.
Yeah.
And also my interest in police brutality.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I watch something like that, I'm like, I want to investigate this for myself. I want to see this. I know I can handle that. But there's also stuff like, you know, there's like a video, you know, that's like, you know, watch suicide bomber's vest explode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, thanks. Yeah. I just don't watch that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
That's a weird corner of the mind.
I can't enjoy that because I know it's real.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that I don't enjoy that.
Isn't it a thing that there isn't? And now, hey, eventually we're going to talk about the movie you're here to listen about.
That's okay.
Isn't it a thing that there is not an actual true snuff film in existence? Like, there are plenty of videos of people dying. There's videos of executions. There's videos of police incidents, wartime. But, I remember hearing somewhere, no one knows about a film that's made of a murder. Like, with the intention of, I'm going to film this. I thought I heard that somewhere, that no real, true-to-life snuff film exists.
I would say that, you know, if anything ever came out like that in the last 30 or 40 or 50 years in mass media, I'm pretty sure you would hear of a murderer getting caught.
Yeah.
And them finding a film of a murder.
Yeah, I think you'd know about that if that was a thing.
Then again, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I do not put anything past any psychos that have not been caught.
Yeah.
It's freaking me out. My hair is sticking up.
Okay, that's what's freaking you out right now?
It's making me nuts.
All right.
I can feel it.
Well, now that we've talked about the Angry Birds movie and snuff films, I don't know how those are connected. Did I have something? Oh, you know what I saw? If we're talking about random things we saw,
hit me.
I went Sunday night to Row House Cinema, our friends there, and saw Harvey, which I had never seen, with Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, yeah, the bunny rabbit movie.
Yeah, that's really good.
Black and white,
you know, kind
Roger
of
Rabbit.
Kind of a farce comedy.
Yeah.
totally holds up. I know I'm not saying anything new by telling people that Harvey is good, but that might be one that you missed.
Yeah.
You
know, it's definitely a classic you should see.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. I haven't seen it in years, but
yeah,
I remember it being pretty good. This is different.
And he's great. I mean, he's
yeah.
You know, it's. I don't know if he was nominated or what. It's like an Oscar level performance in a movie about a guy who thinks he's got a rabbit following him around.
Oh, yeah.
There are like serious scenes where he talks about life that I want to have tattooed on my face. Like, it's really good.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There was stuff like that, wasn't there?
Yeah. And it's a little dated. There's a few things that you're like, you know, just because it's a movie, it's a comedy from the 50s, so it's not going to read perfectly in 2016. But I would certainly tell people to go catch up on that one.
Yeah.
Loose inspiration for Donnie Darko, which we did a retro on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how, like, I kind of remember, like, didn't, like, his family thought he was nuts?
Yes.
But then really, he's the most sane one?
Yes.
Kind of thing? Yeah, right.
It's one of those lessons.
Yeah.
So let's talk about director Shane Black.
The nice guys. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm a big fan of Shane Black. I always ask, we're going to play Has Sean Seen It? Because I'm gonna go through the movies that Shane Black has done, and
yeah,
some of them
not gonna go well.
Some of them are my favorite movies of all time. Yeah, I mean, action movies of all time.
This is not gonna go well.
He started off in 1987 writing two movies that are spectacular classics. Mm-hmm. First, Lethal Weapon. Have you seen Lethal Weapon?
I have.
Sean,
not.
Shut up, dude.
Yeah, I know. I told
shut him, up, dude.
I said, didn't I just say I want to go to Row House next week and Sean. Catch Bullet? Maybe First Blood Part 2.
Yeah, Row House is doing an awesome action lineup. Bullet, mm-hmm. I was telling Sean, really set the precedent for every car chase for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Dukes of Hazzard existed because of Bullet.
Yeah.
I mean, really. A really great classic car chase that is the first of firsts.
I just feel bad.
Bloodsport?
Bloodsport is playing.
Bloodsport's awesome.
It. I am just gonna spoil Has Sean Seen It and tell you that
look, okay.
I have not
he
seen
also the same
I have
year,
not seen a movie that Shane Black was involved in before
right
Kiss
now,
Kiss
dude.
Bang Bang.
I can't handle you.
Yep.
Dude, also in 87 he wrote The Monster Squad, which is one of my favorite movies. Then he wrote Lethal Weapon 2, then he wrote Last Boy Scout, which is awesome.
I've heard that.
The opening scene of Last Boy Scout.
I have seen the opening scene on the football field.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
And then he wrote Last Action Hero, which, hey, look.
Everybody had a good time.
People didn't like it, but look, it was okay. Mm-hmm. Long Kiss Goodnight is actually pretty good. And they're making Long Kiss Goodnight Part 2.
Oh, really?
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was okay.
I think that one got a little overrated. I remember that one. I remember people saying,
Iron Man 3 was good.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 was good. But what I'm most excited, and people may not know Shane Black, but he's been in a couple movies, just a couple. One movie you would know Shane Black from is Predator.
Oh, okay.
In Predator, Shane Black was one of the commandos that wore the big glasses.
I see.
I don't know if anyone ever his name was Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
He played Hawkins. He was the dude with the two like Uzis or the MP5 machine gun. By the way, Predator is one of my favorite action movies of all time. Maybe number two.
And and when we did a retro on that, I thought, oh yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, and because you've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he plays Hawkins, and he wears the big goofy like substitute teacher glasses in Predator. But, I mean, dude, he's written some really good movies.
Mm-hmm.
And what's exciting about Predator is that he's redoing Predator.
Oh, is he?
And it's apparently from what I know, it's a sequel to the 1987 Predator.
Mm-hmm.
All the other Predators don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
He is making a true-to-life written and directed by Shane Black, sequel to the 1987 Predator.
Oh, so in the world of this film, Predator never met Alien.
Correct.
Yes.
And
there was a Predator 10 years ago with Adrian Brody. I didn't see
yes,
it.
Yes.
Was it any good?
Nah. Yeah. It was all right. I mean, I was happy. You're always happy to see the Predator.
Right.
But he apparently he's developing or, well, is involved in the Long Kiss Goodnight 2.
Okay.
Which, I mean, I don't think Gina Davis is going to be in it. Samuel Jackson is still kicking, but maybe he's in it and somebody else is in it. Probably a younger female femme fatale. But here's what's really, this is what I'm really excited about. Uh-huh. Shane Black is writing and directing Doc Savage.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Doc Savage.
I do not.
Doc Savage is a comic book character of basically like a Indiana Jones yet, but a scientist.
Ah.
An awesome character. Mm. It's Indiana Jones, not a history archaeologist. He's a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I mean, I'm pretty excited about Doc Savage and Shane Black writing and directing it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty exciting.
And I don't know what to make of his style because there's only a couple movies that he's directed.
Yeah.
You know, this is 4 or 5 maybe. Yeah. Iron Man 3, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Is that it?
It's a TV movie, I think.
Yeah, TV movie and a bunch coming up.
Oh, he's doing the new Conan. The Destroyer.
You know there's a Tarzan movie coming out?
I don't know.
I was doing a summer movie preview for Pittsburgh Magazine, pittsburghmagazine.com/afterdark.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I messed that up.
And I'm like, there's a Tarzan movie coming out in a month? I had never heard of it. Anyway, what are you talking about?
The Destroyer is something different. I thought he might have been doing... I thought he might be doing... Because I guess Arnold's supposed to be in a new Conan.
Oh, okay. Well, his...
No, this is based on some cult book called The Destroyer.
Okay.
A secret government organization named Cure. This sounds familiar. Yeah.
Well, based on Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Iron Man 3, you know, his style is basically, you know, funny, punchy action.
Yeah.
And if you look at what he wrote.
Absolutely.
You know, earlier.
Makes a lot of sense.
So he is really, really good at fun action movies where you do have to turn off your... Holy shit, a lot of people just died. Filter.
Oh, I mean, it's but definitely...
But he makes it easy for you to do that.
It's definitely under the tutelage of an 80s action movie or a 90s action movie.
Yeah.
And he's really good at that. And
the good thing here is there's a comic pair that ended up working great at the lead of this one.
Yeah, isn't that cool? I mean, he created Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah.
You know, and he's done a couple other pairings.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, Lethal Weapon, Riggs and Murtaugh is one of the best duos of all time. It really is. You have to see the movie.
I should.
Mel Gibson's really good. Danny Glover is really good. People love Lethal Weapon. I would say that Lethal Weapon is probably on some people's number one action movie of all time.
Yeah.
You know, even though they don't know. Because it's a little bit action. There's action. But it's just, I mean, it's just like this. It's just like The Nice Guys. But like this is a good duo. It's the most
Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
I mean, I liked them together the most in this movie.
They were you got to know my history with Russell Crowe. When I first started watching movies, I was like, this guy has everyone fooled. He's a hack. Because
I never believed that, Sean.
I thought that he was a guy that just lets a movie happen around him and has some presence.
Really?
Yeah. You know that, there's a name for this, and as a movie critic, I should know exactly what I'm talking about. But do you know that experiment? I think it was a French film experiment in the 40s or 50s, where they just filmed a guy staring below the camera, right? So the camera's looking at him. He's staring below it. And then they show it to one set of people, and they cut in him looking at... his mother's coffin or something.
Right.
And they're like, this guy's really selling grief. But then they show it to other people, and he's looking through a window at food. And they're like, this guy's selling his hunger, and he must not be able to eat.
Right.
You can, you know, if you're not a good, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a good actor if the right things are happening around you. And in stuff like The Insider and Beautiful Mind, I thought that Russell Crowe was kind of a guy like that. That just lets stuff happen around him. And every now and then I'll still see... He was in a really bad movie called The Water Diviner last year.
Beautiful Mind was okay, even though he got nominated for an Oscar for that.
Didn't he win for that? Or did he win for Gladiator? No, he won for A Beautiful Mind.
Are you sure?
I think he won for A Beautiful Mind. But since then, more and more, I see stuff where I'm like, yeah, this guy is perfect. Russell Crowe is perfect for some stuff.
He's really good in Insider.
I don't think that's true. Now, I saw that when I was about 16.
He was really good in The Insider.
I don't necessarily agree.
Dude, he was really
good. It's 20 years ago. He's really good in L.A. Confidential. I'm not...
Oh, really good.
Absolutely not arguing that. I thought he was good in Noah.
He won Best Actor for Gladiator.
Ah, okay.
And he was nominated for Beautiful Mind and The Insider.
But then he still does stuff like Robin Hood. He was terrible.
Yeah, it's...
3:10 to Yuma, he wasn't good, but he was great in American Gangster.
He was 3:10 to Yuma, he was okay.
Yeah, I thought the movie was all Ben Foster.
Still have not seen Noah.
I think he's pretty good in Noah. And I'm the only person in the world who
apparently
thought,
he was really good in Les Mis.
I think he was really good in Les Mis.
I have no desire to see that whatsoever.
A lot of people totally disagreed and said he can't sing. No, he can sing.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a sweet voice.
No, I heard a couple people say that, like, whoa, yeah, he does all right.
Yeah, he knows how to sing, and he has a voice that works for the character, and he's very good for that character.
He was good in The Next 3 Days that was filmed entirely in Pittsburgh. He was good in that.
That is a crazy underrated movie.
It is. It absolutely is. He was very good in American Gangster. Cinderella Man was overrated. Gladiator is really one of my favorite
that was
movies.
I think in your honorable mentions when we did top tens.
Gladiator is one of my, I mean, it is my favorite, it's in my top 10 favorite soundtracks of all time. Hans Zimmer, it's so good. The soundtrack is so good. But yeah, The Insider is really good. LA Confidential is probably LA Confidential and and Gladiator are probably an Insider three best films.
In any case, he's definitely really good in this.
He's
in The Nice Guys.
Oh, he's really good.
Perfect for it.
Yeah.
And a perfect straight man to Ryan Gosling doing slapstick.
Dude, Ryan Gosling is, I think I turned to you like 30 seconds into the movie. Like, I really like him. He's really good.
The Big Short, Place Beyond the Pines, Drive. He was really good in Crazy Stupid Love.
And compare this.
Lars and the Real Girl, Nelson.
Compare this. Okay, four movies right there.
Yeah.
Nice Guys.
Yeah.
Drive.
Drive is so
Half
good.
Nelson.
Yeah.
And Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
It's four different dudes.
Completely.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He is really good.
Yeah.
And I think he's my new Leo.
You think?
He's my new Leo.
He's 10 years from now.
I said this to somebody a couple weeks ago talking about someone was like, oh, Leo finally won. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm not pulling for Leo anymore because he finally won. And Ryan Gosling's the new Leo.
Yeah.
He's gonna start getting some Oscars someday. Like, he's gonna.
But do you think it's a similar kind of thing where he's got to, you know, be a little, get a few lines on his face?
Well, I think that he's a little bit, I don't think he's been set in such a corner like Leo was as just this young baby face.
Yeah.
You know, like, can't take him seriously.
He has one Oscar nomination. He was nominated for Best Actor for Half Nelson.
Yeah.
Four Golden Globe nominations for Lars and the Real Girl, Blue Valentine, Crazy Stupid Love, and The Ides of March.
Yeah. But Drive, man, Drive is one of my favorites in the last 10 years.
I think that...
And that soundtrack, I played that soundtrack for a month straight.
Oh, God, that soundtrack is so good.
It's so good.
And I don't even know what I'm listening
to. Chris Prexta has it on vinyl, that son of a bitch.
I don't know.
You know that?
I don't know what the genre is of these songs I'm listening to.
I don't know either.
Soundtrack,
it's electronica.
Great.
It's electronica.
So good.
Yeah,
that if you haven't seen that movie, there are moments in it that will make you go, "Holy shit!"
It's really good.
It's really, really,
really
good.
Well directed.
Yeah,
really well shot.
So you got a great team at the front of this movie in Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe.
Yeah,
and you have
we're gonna pump right through this.
Couple of things.
Yeah,
I'll take the one because I know you're gonna take the other.
Okay,
one thing. this is one of those movies that's about a mystery.
Yeah.
Where, no spoilers, the mystery is much bigger than the payoff.
Yeah.
There's an hour 20 of what's going on here? And then you get there, and yeah, it's like, that's all that's going on here?
It's not as hard to follow as some movies. Like, some movies, they really, like, botch it up, and you're just like, okay, this is way too many post-it notes on a board when you were writing this.
Right.
Like, this is, I don't know how you got here.
Right.
It's not as complicated as some movies get, but I agree. If there's 100% of this plot, they could have dropped 30% of it.
Yeah,
at least
it's a little bit, you know, you'll get to the climax, and the climax is not without drama. Well, it kind of is. The thing that you care about doesn't play into the climax. Do you know what I'm saying to you right
now?
And the climax is kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, and when something happened that kind of ruined the entire setup, I was like, oh, so that was pointless.
Yeah.
The first hour of the movie is now, like, pointless.
And this is co-written by Shane Black. He wrote it with a guy named Anthony Bagarozzi, who has not done a whole lot else that anyone would know
of. Did he write TV?
No, he has a very, very short... He's credited as a writer. This is his only movie credited as a writer. And he's on Doc Savage and some other stuff coming up.
That's interesting.
But yeah, the you know, I think they started writing in a really good place. It almost feels like one of those cases where then they got there and went, and then what?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, and you know, if you really, it does kind of remind you of some Lethal Weapon plots.
Yeah.
But then I would put this up against a Lethal Weapon plot, and Lethal Weapon did what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That they did here. Lethal Weapon did not do.
Okay.
It was like Lethal Weapon, it got a little, you know, there's the in the first one, there's this Hunsaker girl murder.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's based around. And, you know, it's like you think, and then, oh, okay. It's like, wait, it's this. That's it. Stop there.
Yeah.
It's not like, wait, it's this, but really it's this.
Yeah, you don't
It
need,
was
you,
that the whole time.
You like, don't you many, don't you don't often need that
too
last
many
step.
Wait, it's this and that. Like
right.
It's you know.
I agree.
Keep it simple. And that's what I said to you as soon as the credits started rolling.
Yeah.
It's like, keep this simple.
And I'll let you take it because there's a character that pretty much breaks the movie.
It ruined the movie for me. Completely ruined the movie for me. Ryan Gosling's daughter.
Maybe about 13, 14.
Uh-huh. She is, he's a single dad, and she happens to be that kid who, wait here for me. Hey, wait in the car. And she does not. No, I think the mom died in an accident.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The mom died in an accident. She just... So this little girl is basically, you know, her dad is a private investigator detective, and she kind of is nosy and kind of, because Ryan Gosling's kind of a mess, a little bit of a drunk. She kind of takes care of him a little bit, watches out for him. She's definitely, they make her the like more, you know, responsible person.
Yeah.
She's like the responsible adult with like a kind of loose cannon dad.
So in other words, very Inspector Gadget. That's what we're talking about here. Inserted into this
series movie. It is Inspector Gadget and Penny. And,
yes.
Penny has not been more annoying.
No. It's irritating, and it really pulls you out when, like...
Yep.
I know that it's an action comedy, but there's, like, moments of, you know, serious stakes.
Like grown men getting their fingers broken.
And then
she comes out of nowhere, like, goo, and says something really dumb.
Yeah.
Or, like, is like...
Like, the writing on her isn't as good as the rest of the movie.
No!
It's
almost like they added her in.
Mm. This isn't testing well. No, I know why it was in there, because it's maybe the first bit of narration after there's kind of like a teaser cold open, and then the story starts, and Ryan Gosling has this little narration basically about how kids grow up too fast. You know what I mean? And a lot of the movie, you know, a lot of the stuff that it's talking about is this like, you know, one of the things that they are talking about in this movie is this tiny dividing line between like early adolescence, innocence, yeah, and then late adolescence, you know, sexual adult. You're an adult as soon as you turn 18. That's part of the subject matter on the movie, and she's meant to embody that. It's just not done well at all.
Yeah, it just it really isn't. And you know, it goes to this, you know, this action mystery, you know, comedy movie, to when she shows up, I turn to Sean and I'm like, what is this, like Disney Detective Adventures?
Yeah.
I mean, there are scenes with her, it feels like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen detectives. Yeah. I mean, it gets, I mean, there are scenes that I'm just, I goffed audibly. Right. I was just like, oh God.
Yeah. Now,
and then it goes back to a scene with the guys.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, we're back.
Yeah.
And then she walks into the room and I'm like, oh, great. Yeah. You know, I mean, geez.
I would still recommend the movie.
I would too.
But by the end, just know that by the end of it, you're going to be really sick of this girl.
You're really annoyed of this girl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like this movie could have got this plot, this movie, this story could have got along without her.
Yeah.
Like, it's an easy write out.
Yeah.
Like, you could have seriously edited around her.
Sure.
And
not really any trouble.
And would not have noticed.
Nope.
At all.
Yeah.
She does not do anything for the story.
It's really what kept a pretty good movie from being a very good movie.
Yeah. There's also a guy in here, Matt Bomer.
You've seen him in some things.
Yeah, he was in Magic Mike XXL. He was the surf boy Ken Barbie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? But also, he has a really great role in American Horror Story Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a couple other things, but... there's some other
brief cast notes. Here's all I'm going to say: Kim Basinger, not good anymore.
Not good anymore.
Keith David, still got
it. Dude, I love this guy.
He's so good,
and he's whipping ass.
This movie has the second best Keith David fight scene.
Yeah,
we all know what number one is.
We sure
do. They Live is perfect. Number two, he's got a fight scene with Russell Crowe in here.
Dude,
that's 59 awesome.
59 years old, beating some ass. I love it. Margaret Qualley. She's a person of interest. She's a really good actress in The Leftovers, the HBO series.
Oh, okay.
She plays what's Jennifer Aniston's husband's name? Justin Theroux.
Justin Theroux.
She plays Justin Theroux's daughter in The Leftovers. She's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really about all she's been in, but she is really good.
Keith David is so good. I tell you,
I love him.
The video game Saints Row 4.
Oh yeah,
he's a playable character as himself.
That's great.
It's you're a street gang that has become the president of the United States.
That's great.
And your vice president is Keith David as Keith David. It's just because he's awesome.
Wait, why?
It's so good.
Why? I don't even want to know why. That's great.
No, it's not really explained. It's just like, yeah, Keith David's the vice president. And like 2/3 of the way through the game, Rowdy Roddy Piper shows up.
That's the best.
As his sidekick. It's so good. Anyway, so go see this movie,
I think Val
maybe.
Kilmer's son is in this, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jack Kilmer played Chet.
We skipped some normal things. We don't really have an extra butter for you. Well,
no,
we did.
Let's
we
rock
talked
and roll.
About Angry Birds and Snuff movies and
our
Harvey.
Yeah, extra butter was very much in the beginning.
Sinister 2, and, you know, we just flip-flopped this one a little bit. I want to give it a 7 because there's so much I like about it, and I want people to see it.
Yeah.
But that's a couple of big problems.
I tell you what, man, I honestly would give it maybe an 8 or a 7.5. But with the daughter for me,
yeah,
it's a 7. It's,
and I'll, you kind of want to go lower. It's a 7. I'm being generous in giving it a 7.
I have to give it a 7 because I think Shane Black does a really good job.
Yes.
And I think Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling are really good.
Yeah.
I think their dialogue and them acting that dialogue is really good.
Yeah.
I said to you, I want to see the sequel.
Yeah.
If it comes back and you're like, oh, the daughter died.
Right.
Or they were like, oh, we sent her to boarding school. Oh, yeah. Good, great.
Yeah.
So, because they're going to make a sequel. Of course they are.
They might. I think this will do all right.
I think it will.
Yeah. That's it. Hey, do a 3-minute Riggs and Murtaugh bit, and then we'll go home.
Come on, Riggs. Riggs, I'm too old for this podcast. Riggs. Riggs, I ain't doing no podcast. I'm trying to retire next week, Riggs. Man, I am 61 years old. I've been on doing this podcast for over 100 episodes, Riggs.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.